All right. So are you two comfortable? So are you two comfortable that you at least have Ken's original motion?
Let me go down again. All events the station is involved in with an excess expenditure of $5,000 shall be fully disclosed to the LSB in written form for approval, including a full description of the event, names of all principals involved, and anticipated fees, costs, consultants, and ancillary expenses.
Is that okay, Ken?
Well, it would be presented to the LSB for approval in writing. So put for approval right after to the LSB. The basic sentence is all events in excess of $5,000 will be presented to the LSB for approval.
All right. That's we're going to make you write this if you guys don't get it together soon.
That's the core.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's breathe. And now we'll start amending. I heard Kim and I heard Bill, and I have an amendment. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack? Campbell, did you say something earlier about being on the stack for this, or...?
No, I would like to see it first.
I know, but sometimes things go the way they go. Okay, well, Jim, would you be able to email that out? Are you in a position
to do that? I am not technologically adept enough to do that. So we're going to have to deal with a somewhat cloddy secretary here.
Okay, then when we call on Campbell to discuss it, we'll have you read it out loud again in its current form,
fine,
you know, right before he speaks. Okay, so that takes us to Kim. We'll be first.
Oh, I just want to say, including with a budget, and I don't think it's, I think even if it's on the budget, this still needs to happen, so I think we eliminated the unbudgeted. Obviously, you know, we've written so many different motions that unbudgeted items shouldn't even exist, that the fact that we have to keep trying to restate that is kind of stunning. But even if it's on a budget that they're planning to do this event, I think the LSB, I don't think... any managers should be should do this without participation or oversight by the LSB. And this doesn't really actually deal with the central issue that Tracy brought up, which is outsourcing. You know, if this includes outsourcing, any contracts related to this event needs to be, you know, viewed by the LSB. But it still doesn't deal with that central issue about, you know, and I can't speak to it because I don't know if the numbers work out.
Mm-hmm. True enough.
You know, I mean, If there's some like deals going on for producers outside of their job description or outside of the paid staff, then how do we decide? You know, and we're still using paid staff. Wow, what's up with that? Those are just the numbers we need to look at.
Okay. I think Bill was next.
I'm on the stack.
Bill?
Jim is not working. Yeah, so like Jim wanted to be also. I think it was a great idea. I'm not sure we're quite ready for the vote on the motion yet. I think what would be helpful is to have an example template spreadsheet that we could also use that maybe doesn't have to be part of the motion. But I think it's a great idea. The strange part about this is it sounds like we're talking about doing planning, for an event. And I think that's something we really need. And I know just at KPFT, for example, we've done a golf tournament of the last several years. And every year our development director, usually in conjunction with some other people, puts together a spreadsheet way months in advance detailing all the fixed costs and the variable costs and expected revenue and all this kind of stuff. And it really, really helps a lot with planning. And it helps to get, you know, that this has gone over with our development committee and whoever on the LSP wants to look at it. And it helps the planners of the event. And it helps you understand what you have to do to keep from losing money and how can you, you know, cut costs to maybe, you know, increase revenue or increase profit, rather. One thing that I think we should include, though, also is an estimate of staff time. Because some of our events take a huge amount of staff time, and it does cost us money indirectly. It keeps our staff from being able to do other things. And so I'd like to have that included in here somewhere also.
I second that amendment.
All right. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack?
Yeah, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim, go ahead.
At KPFT, we have these the primarily smaller fundraisers that just kind of spring up. Somebody gets an idea, and 2 or 3 months later, there's a concert or something shows up, and there was never any expectation when the budget was prepared that that this would even be a possibility of earning some money. So we have a, Bill, what would you think, maybe in a year, 5 or 6 fundraisers that just kind of appear? Maybe more than that.
Well, I mean, some of them are kind of regular, but we have it seems like almost one a month. Maybe not quite that many, but yeah, more than 5 or 6 a year. Some of them only bring in a few $1,000s, but they have negligible expenses. And these are included in our budget. You know, we can slump them all together in event income and expenses.
The other thing,
but I think it's a good idea to list something like this for each of them if there's, you know, going to be more than a few $1,000s of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the last meeting, Tracy, when you brought this up, I thought the problem you were seeing is paid programmers being involved through their own 501c3 or through some type of a contract under a DBA or something that would allow mm-hmm. them to get compensation for work that they were actually being paid for by the station. Is that the primary problem that we're looking at putting a limit on here? Or is it just rogue fundraising events?
That's a fair question, and I'll try to answer it. Do you have more to say, Jim, or?
Fine, that was my question.
Okay. When I first brought this up, I think Jim is correctly stating, you know, one problem that certainly seemed to be an issue. It seems to me as time goes by that it brings up a multitude of problems, some of which I think Ken is addressing in terms of disclosure. But I think it also brings up questions about, A, the integrity of our books, and, B, paying fiscal sponsorship taxes on what is basically revenue to KPFK or to any of our stations, you know, revenue to a Pacifica station. I sort of see like 6 different problems going on at once, and I think that they're difficult to resolve by motion. Maybe it would be helpful at this point to put out some concrete numbers and some concrete examples. There may be other examples of this throughout the network. This is just a particular one that I'm aware of. So let me go ahead and do that. I'm less concerned about the issue of unbudgeted events, although I know that those can and have backfired. But I am concerned about the issues of sort of co-sponsorship and situations where revenue and expenses are not parceled out clearly or proportionally. Because basically you end up with community events accounting in your books that's messed up, and then you don't know what your revenue is and what your expenses actually are, which makes it very, very hard to assess what's going well and what's not going well. So the particular event in question that I'm asking questions about was a Gabor Maté event in Southern California in December. The revenue from the event on KPFK's books is $8,900, but the actual revenue that was raised by the event, this is the gross, was
17.
I'm doing math. 8,900 plus 6,600. Well, I think it was about 16. 15,500 to 16. But it was 8,900 plus 6,600, which according to my calculator is 15,500. Which is great.
Wait. 17 is the number I got. So we already have a problem.
Okay. Let me finish. Let's use the 15,500, and you know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And part of the problem is I think that we don't know for sure, and we should know how many tickets we sold and how much money was received.
Right.
So loosely 15,500. So you've got 8,900 on the books as the revenue from that expense. The balance of 6,600 was sent to social and environmental entrepreneurs, which is another 501c3, and is being held in the account for their fiscally sponsored project, which is Uprising Media, which is, you know, connected to the show Uprising that airs on KPFK every morning. The expenses for the event were apparently paid by Uprising Media. So the expenses for the event aren't on KPFK's books at all. So you have an event, and I think the expenses were around $2,000, give or take. So you have an event where what should be on your books is $15,500 in and $2,000 out. But what you actually have in your books is $8,900 in with 45% of the income and 100% of the expenses happening somewhere else. So when you look at your community events expenses, if you do this consistently, they don't make any sense. They don't have any relationship to your real revenue and your real expenses. In addition, for the $6,600 in revenue, you're paying a tax to social and environmental economic entrepreneurs of 6.5%, which is their fiscal sponsorship fee, on our event revenue, on KPFK's revenue. In order to hold it at another 501c3, when we are, in fact, a 501c3 ourselves, which in this case is not a fortune, but, you know, it's $340. It's basically, you know, gone. So that's you know, at $15 a ticket, that's like 23 tickets or something like that, that, you know, we're basically throwing down the rabbit hole. So that's the particular example that's kind of bringing this up. The rationale that I heard for that, well, was, you know, well, the individuals associated with Uprising did all the work for the station, took on all the financial risks, and, you know, the station didn't have to spend time on it, only the paid staff of the station and apparently their spare time spent time on it. And station didn't have to pay the expenses because the expenses were paid by this fiscally sponsored nonprofit, which then took 40% of the income, which it is apparently holding to hold future events on behalf of KPFK. So the question that I have is, if we do this five times a year, we're going to have the most screwed up community events bookkeeping on the face of the earth. It's going to have no relationship to anything. We're going to lose a certain amount of money paying a fiscal sponsorship fee that we don't need to pay, and we're going to have somewhere between 40 to 50% of our community events revenue and expenses basically off the books. And there's something about that to me is procedurally problematic.
It's kin to the stack.
So that's the example, and that's what I was trying to bring up. I think Ken's motion addresses some of that, and also, you know, throws a couple other things onto the kitchen sink. So, okay, and I heard Ken and I heard Kim for the stack, and hopefully that answered your question, Jim. Ken?
Okay. Well, yes, I understand your concerns, Tracy, but that's not the motion I was making. We also, first of all, I'm all, let's say, more aware of what's going on in KPFK. We also did a sponsor, an event with Tavis Smiley and Cornell West, Smiley and West, on their poverty tour. And we made money on that, and they sold books on that. And, you know, I don't know about all the mechanics. I don't
I'm not talking about
want to make – let me finish speaking, please.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know – I don't think it's advisable for us to micromanage and say you have to fill out this budget, you have to fill out this form, you can't do this, you have to do that, because it's an expanding media world. And we may get a thing where things – we get a profit if somebody goes through our portal, or somebody releases a song and people can download it from our website and we get 10% of it. So I don't want us to try to make policy that's going to micromanage any potential events. And a lot of these issues that you're bringing up, we don't have the whole story on the field. You seem to have more information about that Garbarati event than we were able to obtain. So congratulations to you. I didn't know about all of that. But if there's something there that's not right, it's covered in Article 13, Conflict of Interests. And that has to be handled by management. And on my opinion, you cannot write volumes of policies and statutes to handle every little issue because there can be a confluence of interest. You may have a guy who owns a circus, who's on the board or has a show, and he decides to do the thing with tickets. It can get too complex and too bound up in legalities if we try to micromanage and write policy for every potential situation. What I'm proposing as a motion is that we require full disclosure to the LSB, and that sunlight will allow the LSBs to see things that we can't predict when they can question these things and say, I do accept as a friendly amendment the amount of staff time anticipated and all contracts. And the major thing with the Garbarati event was no contract. I don't think a contract was signed. And if a contract was signed, it should be presented to the LSB if it's a significant contract. Management hates that. But management has sometimes been foolish or has manifested conflicts of interest. So we need governance for the oversight. So I'm just proposing transparency, full sunlight, disclose it to the LSB, pitch it to the LSB, and if the LSB, you know, then the LSB and their fiduciary responsibility can determine that this isn't in the best interest of the station, or it is. You know, and that's a conflict between management and not wanting to be bound in by governance. But I feel that it is necessary. Like you said, it may not seem comfortable to you, but it may be, in the overall sense, beneficial to the station. And, you know, you just have to look at it that way. Again, we have Smiley and West. Every time somebody, the guy in New York, I can't remember his name, Richard Cocker, he puts out a book. You know, they get money every time we use it as a premium. There's all kinds of financial activities going on all over the place. And I don't think we can write policies that's going to monitor how those funds go through different nonprofits and so forth. I'm not saying I agree with what happened at Garbarati. I'm saying we can't micromanage it. So what
okay.
I want is transparency,
okay.
and that's the intent of my motion.
Okay.
And I don't want us to write policies. We already have Article 13. That should be adequate.
Tracy for the staff,
and I'm done.
Oh, sorry. Okay, and Kim is next.
Well, I sort of disagree with Kim here. But the thing that I said before is I don't know all the facts of this event. As far as I can see, which is not that far, unfortunately, a lot less farther than I should be able to see, I don't see that we actually got any money from it. I'm not sure where that money is. And that's my first concern. So I don't know the mechanics. I don't know what the split was. I don't know how happy our listeners would be if they actually knew that they thought they were donating to an event that was solely going to go to KPFK and then find out, you know, some producer, promoter is getting 50% of it. I don't know what the split is, but I just think that's an uncomfortable position for me that our listeners don't understand what, you know, what their where their money is going to. So I can't, Ken's motion is separate than what Tracy and I are talking about, number one. And let me just say that the Tavis Smiley event was, as far as I can tell, pretty much totally put together, well, the majority was put together by Tavis's people. Now, I have a friend who works for Tavis. I'm having lunch in July. I might get more real information then, but I don't have it yet. But, you know, Tavis kind of put that together. He's got an amazing team of people, and they pretty much donated most of it, all of it, to us. We paid for the books. It was an amazingly great price for the books. It was a great deal for everybody. But it was successful because they produced it.
Okay, I think I'm next on the stack. Does anyone else want to talk?
I'll go back. Ken, I'll go back on.
Does anybody else want to talk? Everyone else is bored to death. Okay, well, we will try to move through this item as quickly as we can. I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding here. What we're talking about is ticket revenue from an event. We're not talking about books or premiums or the sale of subsidiary items or anything like that. What we're talking about is the specific revenue that comes in from people paying admission to an event that's billed as a KPFK benefit. It's the number of tickets we sold. The problem with what's happening is that, you know, it's important that the foundation's books accurately reflect the money that comes in and the money that goes out. You can't assess if you're making money or not making money on your community events if chunks of income and chunks of expenses aren't showing on your books because they're on somebody else's books. That's a different thing than making it an event expense to pay somebody for helping to produce the event. That's a normal thing, and then that's part of your expenses, and that's on your books. And you may pay someone a certain amount of money to help produce an event. Or you may make a decision to split the expenses, split the revenue evenly with another organization. And in that case, you put in your books half the expenses and half the revenue, which is understandable. The problem here is that we have a disproportional chunk of 40% of the revenue and all of the expenses going to another entity, so that what we're recording on KPFK is not, in fact, what we're spending and is not, in fact, what we earned, but is sort of just a random number with the other half of the bookkeeping elsewhere. And what that does is it basically destroys the integrity of your books. And we're a finance committee, and that's important. So you will end up, when you look at your community events results for the year, without a whole chunk of your money that was spent, without a whole chunk of your revenue that actually came in, and you'll be unable to make year-over-year comparisons or in any way assess the failure or the success of various events. That's very different than splitting revenue and expenses proportionally between co-sponsoring organizations, and it's very different from writing someone a contract to help produce an event and paying them a set amount of money, in which case that's part of the expenses for that event. So to be honest, with all of these other things going on, it seems to me that what we're looking at here is sloppy and dysfunctional bookkeeping, and that's really the motion that I want to write. In other words, if a certain amount of money is going to go to an entity for helping to produce an event, and if there are expenses being put out for events that comes through KPFK and goes out the other side, all the revenue and all the expenses, or it happens on a proportional split with another organization, we don't take out a random percentage of the revenue and a random percentage of the expenses and basically throw that somewhere else so we get left with an inaccurate figure on our own books.
Okay.
Because if an event costs because if an event made $15,500 and it costs $2,000, that's what you want to have recorded on your books. Not that the event cost nothing and made $8,900. That's not correct.
Kim to the stack.
Ken to the stack. I think I jumped. I asked first.
That's fine, Ken. You can go.
Okay.
Is there anyone who wants to talk? Just a second. Is there anyone who wants to talk about this who hasn't talked yet before we go back to Ken and Kim? No. Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, Tracy, that's interesting, but that's not the motion on the floor. My motion's on the floor. And I disagree with what you're saying, because we can co-sponsor an event with a bar or a restaurant or we can co-sponsor an event with the Hollywood Bowl, and we're going to get a percentage of the gate, and we're not going to know anything about their overhead or anything. We're going to know what we expended and what we got back, but we're not going to know all the expenses of the Hollywood Bowl. But let's say we did KPFK's Reggae Night at the Bowl or anything like that. And in fact, the statements that were made by you and Kim talking about these particular events supports my motion. You like this guy, you don't like that guy, this was great, they're wonderful people, they're rotten people.
What? Who said that, all Kim?
Well, Kim was saying how wonderful and reliable Tavis Smiley was. And you're complaining, or you're pointing out bad bookkeeping on the Gabramati event. All I'm saying is you can't micromanage and force the accounting to comply with your standards. That's going to have to be worked out between the participating principals. But what you can do is allow the LSB to have oversight on what kind of a deal or event or action we're getting involved with. That's governance oversight on finances. And you can't, because finances is going, it continually becomes creative and there's different procedures. And I don't think we can monitor that, where somebody says, if you pitch this, we'll give you 5% of this or that. If there's contracts, well, you have a motion that says, any events in excess of $5,000 shall be presented to the LSB for approval, including a full description, including contracts, staff participation, all expenses, ancillary fees, and so forth, and so forth. Then the LSB can look it over, and they can be the watchdogs. I think it's impossible to set a policy that will compel that any event we do, all the outgoing income has to come through the station for tickets or for premiums and so forth. And when you sell a ticket, there may be a premium given out or swag, a bag of swag, and we're not paying for it. They are paying for it and everything. The potential, the complexities are immense, and I don't think we can lay that out in policy. What you have to, you hire staff and people to come up with sane contracts and agreements, and then you have governance to oversee it. So I think I'm just asking for transparency, because we didn't know anything about the Hero Awards. We don't know what contract was signed. We didn't know about the Gabramati event. We didn't know anything about the Tavis Smiley event either. It's just, we, you know, there's a better feeling about them when we trust them. That's great. But there may be an Ozzy Osbourne event or, a devil worship event. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't care about what has happened. I want to take a look at all events that might occur in the real world, in a concert hall, on the internet, over the radio. And I don't think we can micromanage that with financial policy. But we can say you have to disclose what's going on. Okay. So that's my motion. The motion is for transparency,
Kim,
not for implementing policies.
Kim, and then we're going to go to a vote.
Yeah,
then
we
should
go to a
vote. I'm not going to support it, Kim.
Okay.
Kim?
I have no problem with Ken's motion, but I think, you know, and Tracy, if you and I want to work further on this about, you know, my guess is this, what happened here is sort of new territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think management has any idea how to account for this in the accounting department. And because it is unprecedented, I think and I've said this, I'll say it again, I don't have all the facts yet. So I need to have more facts before I can see what really went on. I have some questions still, which I've asked for answers. So it is a separate issue from what Ken is talking about, and if you want to work on it further, Tracy, I would be happy to, you know, do that separate from Ken's motion. Fine, transparency is the first step, but this is, you know, just hasn't been done before, and it wasn't handled well in terms of transparency, but how to account for it.
I agree. I do not want to see scrambled books, and that's what my concern is here.
Right.
Okay.
I agree with you. I agree. But there, nobody knows how to do this because it hasn't been done, and there is no policy for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't make policy yet because I don't really understand what all has been done. Or maybe I have different questions than you do at this point. But if you want to work on this further, when I get my answers, I will be happy to do that.
Okay. It's a deal. Is there anyone else who wants to be unstuck?
Bill.
Bill.
Camel.
Okay. Bill?
Okay, I basically like Kim's motion. I'm not sure what Kim was talking about here. If Kim was talking about delaying this or postponing it to work in what Tracy's talking about also, or having that as a separate policy or motion?
Separate.
I'm not quite sure what. Separate. Okay, well, that'd be all right, too.
Yeah.
Just Tracy had good points also.
Okay. Campbell.
Yes, this just seems like it's looking over into the abyss. And I think that we do need, I'm entirely with Kim on this, we need more information about what's going on. And, you know, I think that approving something that we think will give us some transparency without, you know, really knowing what's going on, I think first we need to be able to identify who is engaging in what kinds of agreements on behalf of Pacifica or KPFK or WPFW, whichever, you know, what the authority is, because that's something I think that's very difficult, and it seems from the way that things have taken place in the past, it may be a useful thing to have, if that's the policy that we're going to operate under, to have on each station website that, you know, the only persons who can commit Pacifica or the stations will be thus and so and thus and so. That, I think, is kind of, you know, a place. It may sound a little bit tight, but considering the kinds of strange things that have happened, I think that that's maybe where we need to be. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we can call the vote. I'm debating a motion to postpone because I sort of would like to weave a little bit more into this motion so it's an omnibus that addresses some of the concerns that I've brought up and that some other people have brought up, but I suspect that Ken isn't going to want me to do that.
I mean, I can understand that the major objection to my transparency thing is I'm maybe giving too much control to the LSB to deal with management's decisions. Other than that, you know, it's separate. It's separate.
Yeah.
But the reporting requirements are separate from transparency, or letting governance know. But I at this point, you know, the point is this. If this motion passes this committee, then it's got to go to the PNB.
I know. All right. I'm not going to move to postpone. Let's go ahead and have a vote. Jim, can you go ahead and call the roll on this motion? Or do you want
me
to do that?
First.
Okay.
I've got it in an email. I'm going to try and send it out.
Okay.
My technological abilities here. That wasn't such a smart thing. There, I've got it, so you almost have it. Okay, all events a station is involved with in excess of $5,000 in expenses shall be fully disclosed in writing to the station's LSB for written approval to include a full description of the event, a list of the names of all principals involved, and a list of all anticipated fees, costs, consultant fees, and ancillary expenses. Should all have an email on that.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Vote yes is 4. Vote no is against.
Oh, a question?
Yeah, I have a question, too.
Okay.
I thought we added also disclosure of anticipated amount of staff time.
That was put forth. It wasn't agreed to as an amendment. Would you like to have it amended?
Well, I accepted it as a friendly amendment. We're just in a committee here. That and contracts.
Okay, so Ed, I heard something in there about contracts. I didn't hear something about anticipated staff time. So
end of the motion. Okay, all events the station is involved in excess of $5,000 in expenses, shall be fully disclosed in writing to the station's LSV for written approval to include a full description of the event, a list of the names of all principals involved, and a list of all anticipated fees, costs, consultant fees, ancillary expenses, total staff time anticipated for the event, and contract.
Great.
Okay.
Kim to the stack.
Yes, Kim.
I think 5,000 is too high. This event in question, the expenses were $1,400. So I think it needs to be over 1,000.
Point of information.
Yes, LaVon.
Sorry, we're still working these AFRs. Efren and I didn't get a chance to comment earlier. The language of this motion, it says get LSB approval, or I think it would be to get the ED's approval, and it's something that the LSB should monitor. But to go to an LSB for approval on any action or contract,
mm-hmm.
seems a little extreme.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
What is that point that it would take too long?
No, it's not a matter of time. It's just a matter of being able to function in the environment that you would get the approval of the ED, and that it should be reported, you know, in the LSB meetings, and the LSB can question the validity, can look at the financials and recommend, you pursued with a solar project, that it was not effective. But getting the approval of the LSB is just not, it just isn't feasible and isn't in line in terms of with
mm-hmm.
the general manager's reporting relationship.
Kim to the stack.
Yeah, but
guys, we're supposed to be heading to a vote. What I am going to say is that people opposed to the motion can vote no. So I'm not sure how much more arguing here we want to do. Who else wants to speak about the motion? Let's take one more stack, and then let's go to a vote one way or the other.
Okay, Ken.
I heard Ken. I heard Kim. Who else? Okay, let's go Ken, Kim, vote, because we were, embarking upon a vote.
Okay, yes. I would agree with LaVarne's change, because in consideration, it could turn into a political thing where the majority of the LSB doesn't want to sponsor certain events and so forth. So it's just a question for me of transparency. So present it to the LSB for monitoring and for approval by the ED.
Okay, Jim, can you make that change?
Thank you.
Okay. Kim, you're next.
Well, I'm not sure that the ED is really in a position to know the details of these. Well, you know, as long as it's concurrently presented to the LSB or the finance committee or somebody, because if it just goes to the ED, that's like having no transparency at all.
I think the intent of the motion, if I have this correctly, is that it do be presented to the LSB for monitoring, but the ability to say, no, you can't do this event, is reserved for the ED.
Well,
I think that's what LaVon was saying.
I think it would go the other way, where it's like, yeah, sure, and then, you know, perhaps the finance committee says, well, wait a minute, you know, this doesn't work out so well. I don't know.
Well,
we can't unapprove it.
You can vote no on the motion, but Ken has accepted the amendment, so.
Have we put the number down to 1,000? Have we put the number down to 1,000?
No.
Ken is keeping it at 5,000, is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a deal breaker for me.
Okay.
Let's go to a vote. Jim,
that
you go ahead and...
most of our events, Ken. That eliminates all of our events.
Guys, we can vote no. Let's go to a vote, okay? I actually agree with you, Kim, but let's go to a vote.
Okay, you want me to read this again?
Oh, God, yes.
All events a station is involved with in excess of $5,000 in expenses shall be fully disclosed in writing to the executive director for written approval for presentation to the station's LSB to include a full description, the names of all involved, a list of all anticipated fees, costs, consultant fees, ancillary expenses, total staff time anticipated for event, and contracts.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Okay, Campbell.
No.
Jim, yes. Bill?
Yes.
Jim?
No.
Ken?
Yes.
Tracy?
No.
Barbara?
No.
Marcus? You there? Okay. We've got 7 votes.
And Lavorne is a voting member of the committee if she wants to vote.
Lavorne?
I'll vote no.
Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3 yeses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 noes. That fails.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I will work with you on this to, you know, to get something better. I told you why I couldn't vote for it.
Okay. I'm going to say the same thing. I think there's a take two motion here, and hopefully we can do some work on it soon.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I think we will move the agenda. We have 2 other items, and Lavorne, I'm glad you're here because one of them impacts you. At the last meeting you probably attended before you went to Kalaska, and welcome back, We had resurrected a ancient PNB motion that was never rescinded that talked about reporting to the National Finance Committee on interstation transfers when they occur. The committee sort of reaffirmed the motion, and we wanted to
to number 10.
We're on 10, audit and CPB update.
Oh, shoot. You're right. Is it okay if we do that after this item? Because this item's going to be pretty fast.
I thought, fast?
This item's going to be quick because we don't have the report. So maybe we could just cover it and then go to the audit CPB stuff. Is that okay?
And LeVar would be involved in that too, right?
Right.
Okay.
Because basically I think we're halfway through it, and I apologize. So we were supposed to... The NFC was supposed to get a report for the interstation transfers that had occurred, if any, since the beginning of this fiscal year. We haven't gotten it, so I just wanted to ask Lavorne quickly what a reasonable ETA might be at this point in time.
Okay. Basically, over the last 2 months, it's been like kind of like hell in terms of trying to get out these reports, and we haven't gotten some of the adjustments, the intercompany adjustments. So if I send it out, it's going to be incomplete. I have a list of the incomplete items, and that's why I have not sent it out. So I'm going to send out a report this month again that the items are not complete, the intercompany transactions, transfers, their adjustments. So I will send it out. It will not be complete, but it will be there, and I will isolate those So I'm trying to get those out as soon as I get these AFRs done, which Effort and I are working on tonight. And so we'll say the latest, Wednesday night, basically.
Wednesday night.
After format.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the answer for that, is Wednesday night, which I guess is the 27th. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry
okay.
about that. It's just crazy.
So, all right, that's life. You know, we want to drop the ball. I want to okay.
Tracy, you're too faint.
So that brings us to item 10, which is just an update on audit CPB. This is mostly for the stream because I know that the PNB will do a full report. We'll do a report back on this item on Thursday. And I think most people have already gotten some report backs on this through other means. But that said, I think it's a good thing just to review. So could you tell us where things are with the completion of the audit and the second half of the 2012 CPB grant, et cetera?
Yeah, this is Laverne Lillian, the CFO. And want to report on where we are with the audit by our independent auditor, and also we have a CPB audit going on at the same time. We did have another audit going on in Washington, D.C. with the city government, but we agreed to discontinue that mutual agreement to discontinue that. So I did not have to go to Washington, D.C., and trying to work with the auditor here on the West Coast. When our national office on the West Coast, they kind of recognized that that would make it a lot of issues in getting the information, and that with other companies whose national offices were not in Washington, D.C., this is kind of the route that they take, that if there are not any major issues, that they would drop the audit.
Laverne, could you speak up a bit, please?
Yes, Campbell. We have an audit going with the D.C. government, and since our national headquarters is not in Washington, D.C., it's in Berkeley, it was kind of difficult getting all the information, which is national information for the foundation, to the auditor when that isn't necessarily what he was trying to get at. He was looking at the Washington, D.C. radio station, and that is not the national office. So what has happened with other companies is when the national office is not located in Washington, D.C., they have perhaps discontinued the audit, which is what happened with us. He agreed to drop the audit. And so, therefore, it didn't require me to go to Washington, D.C., bring all these documents, when the relevant entity that he wanted to look at was only Washington, D.C. employees, looking at, you know, their salaries and where they were located and the forms that they were filed for these employees. And we provided a lot of that, and Robert West provided a lot of that. But the auditor discontinued the audit. So that was one audit down and two more to go. So on the independent auditor, a final draft was delivered to us a week ago last Friday. And the following week, like through Wednesday of last week, we were still doing reconciliations to our trial balance to what the adjustments that were made that were part of the final draft audit. So that was done through last Wednesday. So after last Wednesday, our independent auditor, Ross Wisdom, and his group started preparing the 990s. And we also, at that time, since we had a document that we believed to be final, we started preparing the audited financial reports for CPB. And but along with that, at the same time, we also was involved in an audit for CPB, and the auditor was here on the West Coast, and then he was in Washington and in New York, and he delivered his observations from the audit. And so while we were preparing our AFRs for CPB, which we have to prepare to get our second installment for 2010, we there were issues with their, the auditor recognized, made observation on issues with our AFRs, the way they had been prepared in the past. And the major issue is that when the AFRs were approved by the independent auditor, they did not include the cost of what they call high-end premiums. So what has happened is that the auditor, the CPB auditor, has provided in his observations a calculation of what resulted in overpayments to Pacifica because we did not include those, that value to deduct from the revenue where the CSG payments are based on that revenue, and we didn't deduct the value of those premiums. And initially, it looked like the impact
Point of information, please.
Sure.
You said CSG. Did you mean CGS, cost of goods sold?
No, I meant CSG, community service grants from the Corporation
Thank
for
you.
Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, we'll start getting quite clear on that.
Okay, yes. So, there is a calculation of what our penalty will be. I have since looked at some of the information, and we have reduced that by about $10,000. But we're going to have to pay a penalty for the overpayments, which was initially about $140,000, but we nanced down to about $130,000. And this is due to the fact that over the years that he looked at 2009 and 2010, that is the value of the overpayments for not including the expense. So, therefore, and the other issue that he has are with the ticket sales in New York. And we did not exclude that income also, so that results in an overpayment of funds in those 2 years of about $20,000. So the issue of the ticket sales in New York, we are having a continuing conversation, including today, with CPB about what that really constitutes and why we shouldn't be penalized for including that as revenue. And a couple of arguments on that would include the fact that the ticket sales, you know, if you have a ticket, it has zero face value, because I had a ticket and I realized that. And also that in the case where there isn't a ticket, you're just on a list. So therefore, there's a market value for it, but if you just look at the document itself, it says zero. And the reason why this was included is that in David Tanner's initial conversation with David Rothenberg, Rothenberg said he only talked to Tanner for 2 minutes, so it was a misunderstanding that he thought that there was a value on the ticket, and there isn't. It's zero. And that people who go to the box office, their name is on the list. So only the person who shows up with the credit card can actually attend. So I've had these conversations with CPB, with both David Tanner and another CPA there in the office. And I think our best argument now is essentially that these tickets are given. David Rothenberg, and has done a great job on this. He gets these tickets basically from agents, from theater houses, and he only gets the tickets in order to fill the house. So these tickets are a gift. There's no real value. I mean, if a person, it is just simply in order for there to be a body in the seats. That's the purpose of these tickets. This is how he gets them. And so therefore, the real value, I mean, if they were not filled, I mean, we would not, you know, there's no revenue that we can achieve from these, there's no revenue that the house or the theater can receive from these tickets, because they're given away. There's no value to them from someone else. So anyway, we have a couple of arguments we're trying to give in order for this revenue to be recognized or not to be deducted from our CSG, Community Service Grant, payments. So this is all related to the audit by the independent auditor, because we have to have the audit completed in order to complete the AFRs, and we have to complete the AFRs in order to get our second installment of over $600,000. So normally we receive this in April. We're not going to receive it until July. It's late. It's overdue. It has put a lot of pressure on the foundation, of course. We've had pretty good fund drives in May, so that is we can, make our demands, but, you know, payments are late on major, on some of our invoices. But back to the audit. So with the audit, we have the completed independent auditor has completed the audit. They are working on the 990s. We are working on the AFRs. I'm working on it right now. Efren and I, we're going over some of the directions that we've been given by CPB. We've actually opened a line of communication with CPB on this so they know what to expect. And that we also, because the audit that, so what happens is that the AFRs goes to the independent auditor, goes to Ross Wisdom. He looks at it, approves it, and sends it to CPB. And that when he approves these, when he approved the audit, when he approved it, we have been penalized because in his conversation with David Tanner, he said that he did not recognize the need to subtract the cost of high-value premiums from membership revenue when conducting his audit. So we have been penalized for that. So we are just limping along to getting the AFRs in. I'm reviewing it to make sure we have the cost of the high value premiums, you know, in on the forms to be submitted. We have some analysis to do, particularly on the Gary Null premiums, because we have not really, it's not consistent in terms of how each station value these high value premiums. So, you know, we're still working on this. We thought we could have the AFRs in today, but we have found that we still have some work to do after talking with CPB today. And that's
Bill for the stack.
Campbell for the stack.
Okay. I heard Bill. I heard Campbell. Is there anybody else? Okay. And then just as a time check. Okay, I heard Kim, and just as a time check, we have one more item after this, so we'll try to get off the phone by around 7:45 or so. Okay, Campbell, followed by Bill, followed by Kim, and LaVarne, you can answer each question in between.
Bill is first.
Okay.
Okay, simple question, hopefully yes or no. Can you assure us, LaVarne, that everything will be into CPB by the end of the week, by Friday?
We have no choice. Yes,
I know.
We have absolutely, and that's why we. The only thing that I want to do is we have analysis on Gary Null premiums because let me just quickly. When Tanner did his analysis to show what our penalty is, he just looked at the cost of the premiums. So he said, you know, certainly there is value to these premiums because you showed their cost to them. There are costs associated with them. So that's what he used. Now, that we can use that to, you know, that would be the minimum amount, and that's what he's doing to indicate the amount of penalty. So what I have to do is to look at the cost, which is clearly on our financial report, on our audit, and determine if there's more cost that we need to add. And the cost that I know we need to add, and that, you know, I have the documents that we're doing the analysis for, are Gary Null premiums, because we are doing that at K and WBAI. And other premiums, you know, if you look at the database and you look at the cost, we have to make some adjustment. But since there's no consistent means to value these premiums, it's kind of all over the place.
Okay, my point was just to make sure that there aren't any other holdups that would keep it from getting to CPB by Friday.
No,
you err on the side of caution. So, you know, if we have to, we'll put in some number tomorrow that may be higher than what it should be, and we will end up getting less in funding for the following years out. But that will make sure that we have to get, because we have a drop dead date. We have an extension. The extension only goes through June the 30th. So our goal, again, is tomorrow, is to finish doing the analysis tonight on the Gary Null, kind of look at the cost again, I had each one of the database managers send to me what's in the database. So I know what they have in the database. I know what the costs are, and we have to make some adjustment. So this has to go in because we have to have send it to Ross Wisdom. His group has to look at it. He just has to approve it, and it goes directly to CPB by Friday.